It's time to get up, get motivated, and start making moves for yourself instead of working to make someone else rich. These are genuine experiences and the stories of real entrepreneurs that made the ultimate decision to live for themselves in order to achieve unbelievable results. You're listening to The Time Is Now, making your business personal. Now here's your host, Kent Clothier.
Everybody, welcome to today's show. I've got a great show for you here and a very, very special guest, a friend of mine by the name of Sean Stevenson. If you guys don't know who Sean is, then get ready to be really inspired and amazed by this guy. He is, I can tell you, I'll share a little bit more, you know, in a minute here about the first way I met Sean and how much, whether he knows it or not, how much he inspired me and kind of changed my life, and then let you guys get to know him a little bit and share more about his story. Let me just kind of do a little bit of a brief introduction here for a second here. But guys, if you don't know Sean, as I said, you're going to want to know him. The guy is really inspiring. When he was born, doctors predicted that he was not going to survive past birth because of a rare bone disorder that stunted his growth and caused his bones to be extremely fragile. Despite these challenges, he's taken a stand for a quality of life that has reached millions of people around the world, including Sir Richard Branson, President Clinton, and His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama. Sean has appeared on everything from the Oprah Show to online videos with hundreds of millions of views. The Biography Channel did an hour feature on his life called The 3 Foot Giant. His message has been heard at live events in over 16 countries and 48 states over the past 23 years. Sean's latest book, Get Off Your Butt, has swept the U.S. and been released in almost a dozen languages around the world. As a board certified therapist, Sean uses humor and compassion to develop a fun environment where individuals open their hearts and minds for lasting empowerment to occur. So Sean, it is my distinct pleasure, brother, to have you on here. Thanks for joining us.
My brother, this is my fun pleasure to be on this.
Man, I don't know if I've ever actually even shared this with you, but I actually saw you speak a few years ago at an event in San Diego. It was actually a real estate event for FreedomSoft, and I was there speaking, but I was in the audience when you spoke, and, you know, it was unique. I had never seen, you know, a guy come out on the stage, and you're certainly not in a wheelchair, and come out and control an audience the way you did and have such an unbelievably powerful message that I could just speak from my own personal experience. It hit home so hard and really had a massive impact on me, brother. I mean, it truly made me stop and pause and think and reflect and say, man, you know, if this guy can accomplish whatever he wants in life, I mean, it inspired me and filled me with that belief of, man, I can do anything. You know, who the hell am I to sit around and, like you said, you know, sit on my butt and think that I can't do this? So I can't thank you enough for that. I know you've done that to millions of people, but I've never actually said that to you. And I just want to let you know, dude. You truly are one of the most inspiring people I've ever met.
Thank you. You know, my goal is to either get people excited to go after their life or irritate them enough to go after their life. One of the two, they get to choose. You know, I live a life that is completely driven by what's possible. You know, that's a question I ask myself, like, what's possible here? What could we do? I'm constantly working on my mind, my body, my spirit. I just got out of the gym. I, you know, being 3 feet tall in a wheelchair, most people would use that as a beautiful excuse to not be in shape. But I just got out of the gym with my trainer, did a hard 1 hour workout. We did over 300 sit-ups, multiple other weightlifting opportunities. And, you know, my body feels great right now. But if I wanted to, I could totally have just showed up on this interview and just been lazy and taking it easy, and nobody would have pushed me. And that was one of the things I was talking to my trainer about today, is I'm like, you know, I think the secret sauce to Sean Stevenson is he pushes himself further than anybody could ever dream he could go, or a dream that would be even right to ask of him. You know, I study the best of the best, and, you know, they were interviewing Kobe Bryant, who I didn't really like when he played in the league, but his last year when he retired, I was fascinated by him. And they said, do you think your fans are too hard on you? And he laughed and he said, no one's as hard as I am on myself. I should have won a championship ring every year I was in the league. And I feel the same way. Like, when people look at my life and they hear my bio and they watch me on stage and they think, wow, look at all these things that he's done. I'm somebody that's like, I've just gotten started. I'm barely scratching the surface of my potential. And you need that level of intensity. You can't achieve something and then feel like that is going to sustain you emotionally. You have to be looking at the next thing and the next thing and just continuing to push yourself out of your comfort zone.
That's a great point. You know what? I know you work with a lot of people here. I figured that we'd spend our time together, me just kind of asking you some questions, kind of what you've learned. I mean, I think you would probably have to, tell me if I'm wrong, but it's fair to say or assume that you've worked with so many people that you've seen the patterns. You understand kind of how, what goes on in a lot of people's minds and what holds them back and all that kind of good stuff. Is it cool that we just kind of take this in that direction for a little while?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just spent the day yesterday with one of my clients. About once a week, what I do is I meet with a client. They fly in. They're entrepreneurs. I only work therapeutically with entrepreneurs. I'm kind of like the therapist to the aggressive, powerful, entrepreneurial-minded and executive-thinking individuals. And what I do is I work with them for 12 hours in a row. And that's all in my office, one-on-one. And we peel back the layers and I just show them where they're playing small. I show them where they're hiding, where they're lying to themselves, where they're not even appreciating themselves, where they don't have enough gratitude and pride even. And in that experience of that 12 hours, we uncover realizations that they may have never, ever figured out on their own, because that's why we need coaches and therapists and mentors, because they need to be able to see into our blind spots. You know, I meet with probably a group of about, gosh, it's almost 21 mentors now. I call them my advocate circle. And these individuals have 100 times the experience, 1,000 times the wealth, 100 times the intelligence that I do. And they are just constantly pushing on me. What more are you going to do, Sean? How are you going to take this to the next level? How are you going to reach more people? You know, I've reached now over 300 million people through our videos and our live events. And I can tell you that I look at it like, shit, there's 6.7 billion left. Let's right. keep going.
Totally.
And so if you take the attitude of, look at what I've done, you're going to quit. You have to take on the attitude of, it's like almost like a positive, never satisfied attitude. You know, not from a standpoint of like, I'm not good enough, not like a self-esteem issue, but rather you get hungry by what's to come. If you're not hungry by what's to come, you're not going to keep going.
Yeah. So how do you get people to get hungry, right? I mean, I know what I do. I know that the people that I work with, I'd love to hear what it is that you're asking people to tap into or helping people to tap into to get them in that place.
So I ask the same question that my mentors have asked me, which is I get to the root of it and say, why were you born? I need to know. And if they have like a very weak, soft answer that doesn't make the hair stand up in the back of my neck, I keep pushing them. Why were you born? Like, what are you on this planet to do that only you can do it the way you do it? And we get down to a life purpose because, you know, people look at the trappings of success. They look at nice cars. They look at homes. They look at bank accounts and they're like, oh my goodness. If I had that, then I would be complete. Not really. You would have that and eventually you would want more. Yeah. That's not enough. What is always fulfilling, what's always nourishing is a life purpose. Because if you're doing something from strictly a goal-centered, you know, gratifying place, you'll get there and you're going to say, is this all there is? And then you're going to feel like you put all your time, energy, money into something and you'll feel empty. And that's why you have to go after not goals. Those are nice, but really it's, am I playing really big on my life purpose? So I help my clients get clear on their life purpose. And I also help my clients get very clear on getting rid of the trash in their head that stops them from living out their purpose and having an incredible quality of life. So I have a few things. I'd like to share a couple with
sure.
you right now.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I do is I get the client to what I call living at cause. And this, almost everything I'm going to tell you, Ken, it's not Sean Stevenson original. It's a it's a tapestry of everything I've learned from my mentors, books I've read. Sure.
As we all do, right? I mean, we all take it and kind of, I totally get it.
I only have like probably four original thoughts in my life, but the experience that I'm about to share with you is something that I've learned from others. And that is, you got to live on the side of cause. And I got this tattooed on my left wrist. C is greater than E. I'm actually about to get the vanity plate to remind me of this. I put it up everywhere I can, even on my body. C is greater than E. That means that cause is greater than effect. And when you live at cause, there's only one way to prove that you're living at cause. And that's that you have the results that you say you want. And so
you're either
at cause or you're not. So somebody says, I'm at cause for being on this podcast. How do you know? Because I'm on it right now, right? I'm at cause for working out today. How do I know? I completed my workout today. You can only be at cause for what is your results. Now, here's what the other side of the population does. Because that's a very small percentage right there that live at cause. The majority of the population lives at effect. And effect, you don't have results. You have reasons. You have reasons for why you don't have results. Well, because I was tired today. Well, because they didn't return my call. Well, because they told me no. I can't do that because I have a disability. I can't do that because I was abused as a child. I can't do that because I didn't grow up with a father. You know, everybody, if you choose to find the reasons for why you don't have what you want, you will stay firmly at effect. And people that live at effect are weighed down by what I call the size of their butt, their B-U-T, those excuses. But I don't have the time, the money, the energy, the fears. But what if I fail? What if I look bad? And the insecurities. But I'm not tall enough, pretty enough, smart enough. You know, and when you are living in effect, you're stuck on your butt. You have all of your powers drained out of you, and you spent all of your time blaming something outside of you for why you don't have what you want, and you'll be miserable. And here's the little caveat that makes the biggest difference. And I just started to put this together, so this might be a Sean Stevenson original. We're not sure yet. We're looking into it. And that is that you have to choose what kind of pain you want, because you don't get to live life pain-free. Nobody does.
No doubt, baby. No.
You got to choose what kind of pain you want. I wanted to choose the pain of those 300 sit-ups, because here's when you live at cause, the pain from cause evaporates the moment you stop, meaning the moment you complete, right? The moment I was complete with my workout, the pain was gone, but the rest of the day is amazing. I got the energy. Right? I've got the six-pack set of the abs because of it, right? All the things, all the pain stops when you've completed your task at cause. Now, here's what's interesting about effect. When you're at effect, you only get to feel good when you're engaging in something gratifying, some kind of self-medication, eating the donuts, doing the drugs, smoking the cigarettes, right? The moment you stop the gratification, that's when the pain begins. And thus you have the beginning of an addiction, right? So pain is on both sides of this formula. And I found you got to choose what kind of pain do you want. I want the pain that is temporary but gives me lasting results. I don't want the pleasure that is instant that gives me long-term pain.
Dude, that is really good. That is very, very good. Very profound. I love that.
Yeah, and I've just been saying this because the guy in the gym and the guy that's obese on his couch are both, they're going through pain.
No doubt.
I mean, when you're hitting it hard in the gym, when you're having to pass up the dessert at the restaurant with your friends, when you're not out there drinking because you don't want that extra toxins on your body, when you are choosing to pass up gratifying, pleasurable things, that's painful. That's not fun. But then you get all the trappings of what comes of that. You get that lean body mass, right? You get those cut muscles. You get the energy. You get great sleep. I don't know about you, Kent, but when I'm hitting the gym hard, I sleep like a rock, like a baby, and it's amazing.
No doubt. Right? No
but
doubt.
When you're living in a place of you're exhausted, you're overweight, you're dealing with all kinds of challenges, you don't feel like you even have the energy to go to the gym, then what happens is you have your pain and it's mortgaged. every single day. It's like smeared to a very thin layer through the rest of your life. And I just do not want to play that game.
When you look at the people that are going through and having success in business, you know, I tell people all the time, I'm an overnight success, basically 30 years in the making, right? I mean, there's, as I know you are as well, we live in a world now where from a social media perspective and just the internet perspective, marketing perspective in general, we get these illusions of what success kind of looks like from people that really haven't, and what it makes people believe that success on all fronts, quite frankly, is not a painful process, that there are no dues to pay, or certainly that that there are people that certainly believe that. They believe that they have that lottery winner mentality, right? I'm just gonna show up to the game and somehow this is gonna happen. I'm gonna go off and do all the party. I'm gonna do everything, and I'm not gonna necessarily go through the process. I'm not gonna pay the dues. I'm not gonna bang around. I'm not gonna go the brain damage of losing money and sleepless nights and you know, doing everything I can to get a business off the ground and just hoping and praying that it happens, and the struggles and the masterminds and the coaching and all that kind of stuff, all that risk that goes into suddenly achieving something and having a business, and suddenly it turns into something you can scale and, you know, and kind of going down that path. People believe, because of what they're seeing out there, that it's just, they don't have to go through the pain. And that's part of the reason why, you know, I was telling you this when we were talking about the podcast, part of the reason why I started this is because I think people, they basically, there's a ton of people that show up with this illusion, delusional, if you will, that are like, man, all I got to do is just show up. Somebody's just going to, you know, wheelbarrow a bunch of money over to me and make me into this superstar online, and I'm just going to make a ton, you know. And it's like, no, man, there's real work. There's pain here, baby. You got to get in the game, and you got to pay the price.
Let me open the door a little bit for those that have only seen or heard of my success to let you know where I've come from, right? So first of all, I'm a 23-year overnight success, right? And I can tell you that when I got my start in speaking, there were years where I went sideways in my business. I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I got to tell you the truth. I would make $50,000 speaking, but I'd spend $49,000 to make that $50,000. Year after year, it was like I was going sideways, and I made so many mistakes. And I fought just to make it and be big in speaking, as the example. I just had to be good. So I worked, I pounded on my craft, but then I found that wasn't making me any more money. And I was going sideways for over a decade. I felt like a loser, like I should quit. Like everybody would give me these standing ovations when I did get the opportunity to speak, but then I didn't know how to keep the lights on, right? And I felt ridiculous. And then everything changed. And what changed was I started to ask better questions of myself. And the questions were like, what am I doing wrong? What do I not know? Who am I not talking to? And I started to surround myself with mentors. And I started to pay people who have already achieved what I wanted to have. And I sat with them and I met with them at their offices and I flew to them when I was young. I was going out to all these locations to meet with people that were three times my age. And asking them, what am I doing wrong? And they pounded on me, you got to understand sales and marketing. You got to understand about value creation. You got to understand about follow-up. You got to understand about this, that, the other. And next thing you know, I started implementing things. And in a very short time, I 10x'd my business. And it's gone up ever since because I'm now in the mindset of, okay, if something's not working, it's me. It's no one else's fault. You know, your income, your body, your relationships, your quality of happiness, that's no one else's responsibility. That's all you. And no one's coming to save you. There is no Black Hawk helicopter going to swoop in and bail your ass out. It's not happening. I wish to God it did. I would have been happy to have that 20 years ago.
No doubt, bro.
It didn't happen, you know. And people see me now happily married to a smart, brilliant, lovely, beautiful woman. And they're like, oh, I want to have a great relationship. Oh, really? Okay, well, you got to be willing to put in the years of rejection and maybe going to be cheated on in previous relationships and having to go through the heartache of wondering, am I ever going to find somebody that's going to love me? You got to go through that to finally get to that position. And you got to go through lots of relationships and say, nope, that's not working. Nope, I don't like to be treated that way. Nope, I don't want to be in that kind of relationship. Nope. And then finally you get to that relationship where you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is different. This one's an equal. This one inspires me to be a better man. And then all of a sudden you make better choices. And I look at that in my health, my wealth, my relationships. You know, people meet me and they're like, oh, you talk about confidence and overcoming insecurities. You must never have a bad day. Bullshit. Are you kidding me? I get up every morning and journal 3 pages a day to dump out the trash that I have to sift through that somehow shows up. And I'm not watching television. I'm just going about my life, going after my goals. But just being alive, you're going to have to deal with some demons. No, you know, and I've come a very long way, but I can tell you I'm a work in progress. And any guru out there that says they finally made it and they don't have any insecurities left and they don't question themselves ever, they are lying to you. Run the other direction.
I actually believe it's that, you know, because I get a lot of the same stuff you get, right? People project success on me. They see me out there. They get this thing going on in their head. And I actually believe it's exactly the opposite. Exactly what you just said. The gurus that tell you all that bullshit, it's just, you know, they're full of shit. I think the gurus that are the people that you want to follow, the people that are the best out there, the people that have the most to offer are the guys and girls that do exactly what you just did, is make yourself vulnerable. Show that it's real, right? That we don't have it figured out. What we've figured out is how to deal with it mentally, to keep our head in the game, to live the life. You know, again, my opinion, I know that I go through this process mentally where, listen, I know what I deserve out of life. And I know the clock is ticking on me. And I know that I have a very, very limited amount of time on the planet. And I just refuse to allow all those negative thoughts and those demons and all those things that come up, because they absolutely come up. You're 100% dead on. I just refuse to allow them to control my life. So I do the exact same thing. It sounds like you do. I journal, I meditate, I talk to my mentors, I surround myself with people that are very successful, that have been there, that help guide me down that path. And I get through it as fast as humanly possible, because I just don't want to waste any time that I've got on this planet. It's just that simple, right? And I think when people get in that mindset is when amazing things happen. I think when people, you know, play the game, they play smart, they play, you know, together, they play rich and successful, and, you know, they're playing, but they're not, they don't really have it. I mean, there's a ton of money to be made in that game, but that's just not, I think
it's a one-hit wonder. Personally, when you go beyond that, when you go deeper, you realize whether there's substance there or not, right? And if there is, great. If there's not, then it was a show, right? But I want to share another nugget, something usable for your listener. And, you know, we got the, what I call the freedom formula. That's, you want to be at cause, not effect. The second thing that I'm pretty sure is a Sean Stevenson original, and that is the cure to insecurity. Would you be interested to see what I found out, what it is?
Love to hear it.
So the cure to insecurity is self-care. It's self-care. I've looked at this from every angle with my clients, myself, my mentors. And what I mean by self-care isn't like, oh, go to the spa and get a massage, although that might be on your list. What I mean by self-care is I have something called the When Life Works List. When Life Works List. I have a When Business Works List as well, and a When Relationship Works List. Let's just stick with the When Life Works List right now. And that is a series for me. For me, I found that I have 16 activities that are all easy to do. In fact, they all feel good. They're all good for me. And I'll give you a few of them. You know, like just staying super hydrated, getting plenty of water, exercise, having at least one meal of all green vegetables, right? Prayer, meditation, hang out with my mentors, spending time with my niece and my nephews, you know, get the imagination flowing with young kids, right? Spending time with my wife, connecting with my intimate partner. All these different things, creating something, whether it's a podcast interview, just creating something. You want to feel close to your creator? Create, right? Spend time with people that inspire you. So I got 16 things on this When Life Works list, and I found that I only need to do a quarter of my list a day, and I'm unstoppable. If I do a quarter of the things on my list, my insecurities remain dormant. And that's when I found out that insecurities never are going away. It just won't. And anybody that tells me they can. That's wonderful. You're probably in some kind of cult and you want me to castrate myself and follow you to the moon. You know, I'm not going to do that. But what I found is the insecurities don't go away. You have to stay ahead of them. And the way you stay ahead of them is doing impeccable self-care. So I keep it very exciting and I keep the variety in. So I only have to do 4 of the 16 activities a day. And I pick them up and I move them around. I choose different ones every day. But I do 4 things for myself a day. And I can tell you, when I do, the day is unstoppable for me. And it's not that things go my way. It's that I don't get rocked off my center. It's that I don't make things blown out of proportion. When I'm not on my win life works list and something bad happens, bad meaning I don't like it to happen, then I blow it out of proportion. I let it knock me off my center. I lose my confidence and I question myself. When I'm not on my win life works list, I turn into an emo, really helpless human being. But when I'm on my win life works list, you and no army can stop me from my goals. And this is something that's very tangible because everybody needs their when life works list. They should put it up in their office, put it in their phone, put it in their car. You need to be thinking about what are the day-to-day activities that I can just simply put myself into that I know when I do them, my life will work. I have questioned this 1,000 times. I'm like, well, is this really true? And I'll come off my when life works list for about a week to 2 weeks. I won't do anything on my when life works list, and I'm a miserable mess. I'm a mess. I question myself. I miss out on sales. I don't care about sales. I don't even care about grooming and hygiene. I become this like Encino Man, disgusting waste of space. And whereas if I'm on my when life works list, I'm unstoppable. I'm hitting the gym hard. I am filled with vitality. I'm reaching out to people. I'm able to think about others because when you're taking care of yourself, it actually gives you more awareness of the people around you. You're actually less selfish and more selfless when you are taking amazing self-care. When you're not taking care of yourself, then problems creep in. Your drama rises. And then you just think about, oh, my life, I don't have enough money. I'm not in a good shape. I don't have a good relationship. And you start just, it's all about you when you're not taking good care of yourself. I know it's counterintuitive, but I've looked at this. When somebody comes to me and they say, I need to overcome my insecurities, I'm like, great, we need to build your one life works list, and I need to make sure that you're reporting in that you're doing 4 activities a day. If you are, I guarantee you, there's only one other element outside of the one life works list, and that's that you're putting yourself in an environment that nurtures, fosters the growth of your well-being and your transformation. If you have an incredible environment mixed with the when life works list, you don't have a choice. You're going to be successful. You're going to be in incredible shape. You're going to be wealthy. You're going to have great relationships because incredible environments matched up with the when life works list, you don't even have to think about it. It's just a default.
Describe what you mean by incredible environments.
Incredible environments are you get rid of the fucking Eeyores, excuse my language.
No, but, you don't worry about it here, brother. We're all good.
You get rid of the people who are always complaining, who are always feeling sorry for themselves. I have this great employee, and I say great meaning on paper, he was everything I was looking for. He had all the qualifications, but about a month in, I realized this guy doesn't like his life. And I tried to show him and give him, you know, books to read and give him some tips and this, that, and the other. And this dude did not want to take my support. And I eventually had to fire somebody who actually had great skill sets, but they had the wrong attitude because it was draining. It was like I had to put all this energy up high and shields around me when I was in his presence. And I went through a period of about 4 months before I found his replacement. And when I found his replacement, this guy is amazing. And he's high energy and he's positive and he always looks on the bright side and he cheers me up. And I'm like, God, I'm so grateful. I had the balls to say goodbye to somebody who actually wasn't bad. He just wasn't amazing. And that's the thing. You got to get rid of the people. You know, as my mentor Joe Pollard says, tear down anything that's not excellent. You know, get rid of anything. If you're living in an environment where you hate the weather, look, if you're listening to this, you're probably not in, you know, a communistic state where you don't have a choice, right? You're not living under a dictatorship. If you're listening to a podcast, more than likely, you can figure up a way to go live in a part of the world that inspires you. I lived in Chicago. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm 3 feet tall, and I hated the cold winters. And I told my family, I think we should move. I think we should move. I think we should move growing up. And then finally, I realized they're not moving. They're not going anywhere. I got to go. And so this 3 foot tall guy in a wheelchair left his family, who he loved, moved to the other side of the country to be in a beautiful desert where almost every day is blue skies, because I wasn't going to stay in an environment that didn't inspire me. You know, it doesn't, I'm talking about the people you hang out with, the weather you're in, the car you're driving, the house you live in, the books you're reading, the places you're hanging out. You know, I will go to bookstores just to be surrounded by the brilliance of these bodies of work. You know, people don't realize when they walk into a bookstore, if they've never written a book, it's hard. It's hard to get a major publisher to pick up a book. And it's even harder to stay on those bookshelves for years. I'm proud of the fact that our book is still in circulation after 9 years, and it's been in over 12 languages. That, I've had to bust my ass to get that. And so I want to be around that level of genius and brilliance of people that have put in the tough hours, that the blood, sweat, and tears. I am so grateful when I complete watching a movie or a Netflix series or reading a book, even if the body of work sucked, because the amount of energy to just get people to listen to you and to buy what you have, that's incredible. I admire people who get shit done, even if the shit's not that good. You know, it's like at least they did something.
No doubt.
And then if they can refine it and make it to the best quality, that's incredibly impressive.
Hey, this is Kent, and thanks for listening to the show. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up. If you're interested in real estate investing and looking for a way to get started, go to thetimeisnow.com. Right there on the page, you'll see an opportunity to just log in and get a free copy of my best-selling book. It's a great way to get started, learn a lot about one of our most basic strategies in real estate called wholesaling, reverse wholesaling to be specific, exactly how you can get started right now. Got a whole list of resources in there, step-by-step instructions, everything you need. Again, go check it out at thetimeisnow.com.
I applaud you, brother. I mean, I love it. I mean, that's that. I can tell you, you just, I mean, my sentiments, I couldn't agree with everything you said more. I mean, it's as big a reason as any why I moved to La Jolla 5 years ago. I was just, I had a circle around me that just wasn't, I felt incongruent, right? And I know you know what that feeling feels like when you're saying one thing and you're not exactly right where you want to be. And so I packed all my stuff up, wife, kids, moved out to where, you know, I kept talking about from stage over and over and over, you know, live your perfect day. Don't waste time. The same, like literally the same concept of what you're talking about right now. And moved out to La Jolla to do that 5 years ago. And so, I mean, it's 3,000 miles from Florida to San Diego. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. It wasn't like I had any big built-in infrastructure or anything else. It's just one of those, that burning thing down inside of you. But ironically, as you pointed out, the moment you start, you know, you talked about this earlier, I'm gonna go back to it for a second, but you were talking about when you are really passionate about something and you're following your purpose and you're really dialed in on that. I don't want to say the world gets out of the way, but when you really are very conscious of it, and this is what I'm trying to do with my life, and I'm willing to take the actions and surround myself with the people that help me get there, the world kind of does just get out of the way and give you more of what you're really going after. I mean, do you agree with that?
I don't know if it's the world gets out of your way. It's that you aren't in the way of the world.
Love it.
You know, like you aren't the obstacle anymore. See, the world's never your obstacle. You are, right? And so when you get out of the way, when your bullshit gets out of the way, you can fly. It's like, the wind is always blowing and the sails are always ready to take the wind. But if you have tethered yourself to the dock, is that the wind's problem? No. Like I'm in agreement with what you're saying, but I just say it a little differently.
No, you nailed it, brother. You said exactly what I was trying to say. It's perfect.
Yeah. And I think of the concept that I would go deeper on that with somebody is I would say when you are in alignment, where your thoughts, words, and actions are congruent. And congruent is even better than confident. Confident has an element of you're still taking courageous acts. You're getting some momentum. But when you're congruent, meaning it's gone from a belief to a knowing, it's like can't, you don't believe you're a man. You know you're a man, right? It's beyond believing. And when your level of success becomes a knowing, other people will be like, whoa, I want what that person's having, right? The old Harry met Sally, I'll take what she had, right? And it's that mentality of being not on fire, but being the fire. You know, that's the thing. Like, this isn't about, like, puff your chest out, motivate yourself, and just you can do it. Bullshit. No. You need to get an alignment that you're willing to do this even if you die on the way. You know, that's the power of purpose. I don't drink coffee. I don't need the caffeine to get my day started because I got life purpose. My eyes open. I hit my wheelchair. I roll out of the bed, hit the wheelchair, and I'm going with my day because I know that the human race is suffering. There's so many people that tonight might be putting a gun in their mouth, a razor blade to their wrists, people that are scared, they're lonely, that they're at the end of their rope. And I know that there are people that are that extreme right now. And I also know that there are people that may not get to that point, but they're just miserable. They don't believe it's possible. They've given up on themselves. And I know there's this huge population that could really benefit from hearing my story and my strategies and my attitude. And I know that I got to get out there as long as I'm alive. You know, I thank God every day. God is in my business. And I don't mean in a religious sense. I'm talking about just a higher power. Call it what you want. An energy of magic, a zero point energy what universe, whatever makes you feel comfortable. But at the end of the day, there's something greater than me that I'm working with here. And once I invited God into my business, my business group, once I invited the magic that's always surrounding, connecting everybody. You know, most people don't know, but my book, the foreword was written by Tony Robbins, right? And do you know how I got the foreword written?
No, I've never heard the story.
Okay. So when I was 19, I met Tony Robbins and I asked him, I said, someday I'm going to write a book. Will you write the foreword to it? And he said, yeah, absolutely. So years went by. I think it was almost like a decade later, I wrote that book and I reached back out to Tony Robbins' camp and asked, you know, okay, I'm ready. It's time to write the foreword. And all of his gatekeepers were like, no. And I get it. Busy man. Everybody wants a piece of Tony Robbins. But I was like, no, I believe this is possible. My literary agent, my publisher, even my own parents were like, you know, you might want to let this one go and find somebody else to write the foreword. And the day before it was ready to go to print and they needed the foreword, I just said, all right, I'm going to tap into something magical. And before I went to bed, I went into through a manifesting activity where I just drained all the doubt out of my body. And I'm like, I have no idea how this is going to happen, but tomorrow I'm going to pull this off. And here's what happened. It gives me goosebumps. If people didn't see it happening, I'd swear I'm making it up. But fortunately, I have eyewitnesses, Tony being one of them. I get an email in the morning and it says, Sean, the subwoofer in my living room went out. Can you come over and check it out? Now, it's from Tony Robbins. And I'm thinking, why the hell is Tony Robbins emailing me about his subwoofer going out? And I go, oh my God, he probably, this is back when lots of people would probably accidentally put you on a thread, you know? And my name, Sean, was probably the same similar name to his audio technical guy that handled his speakers in his house. And he clicked the wrong name. Right. And so I wrote him. I was like, Tony, this is Sean. Oh my God. I think this was an accident that you wrote me, but it was also destined. I need a forward. It's got to be done today. And he wrote back, no problem, bud. And sent the forward back that night. I took it into my publisher and I said, don't you ever doubt me again.
And as
crazy and as cocky as that is, there was probably like four more stories like that in my life where I just had to drain all of the doubt and I had to tap into something that was greater than willpower, that was unexplainable magic. I don't know how the hell that happened.
Holy shit, dude, that is awesome.
Other than the fact that I tapped into something that's so much greater than Sean Stevenson.
Oh my God, dude, I love that. That's so freaking cool. What are the chances? I mean, what is it, like one in 7 billion?
I'll tell you what the chances were, Kent, 100%.
Nice, bro. Nice.
You know, and what I challenge your listener is, if you're feeling so overwhelmed, it's probably because you feel like you got to do it all on your own. And you can't. You can't do this all on your own. You got to get mentors. You got to get the right peer group. You, ideally, if you can have a life partner that's got your back, and if you can invite some kind of spiritual entity that makes you feel safe, comfortable, and complete, and get all those elements around you, because you won't be able to do it on your own. If you do, that's great, but you'll probably be miserable, exhausted, and you won't have anybody to share it with.
I love it, dude. I love it. I was going to ask you the best piece of advice you would give, and I think that's probably right up there. I mean, I don't know that I could have said it any better than that. Dude, I can't even tell you how much I appreciate you coming on here today. This has been amazing. This has been great.
I got another thing I wanted to bounce past you, if that's
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, most entrepreneurs, they're very head-driven, right? They're very heady people. They think a lot. They're, you know, Ken, have you ever rolled out of bed at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning with an idea?
Of course.
Yep. And the head just seems to be always running. And, you know, here's what I've learned in the last few years, especially being married. My wife, Mindy Kness, is such an incredible impact on my life. And what she's taught me is that the head really doesn't have any answers. The heart does. The head's there to ask questions.
Amen.
Your head will ask you a million questions, but the heart has the answers. When you drop out of your chattering monkey brain and into that heart of yours, that's where you have access to your intuition. You know, prayer and meditation is you connecting to a higher power. Intuition is higher power connecting to you. And it's very hard to hear intuition when you are not in alignment with yourself. In fact, I love the model that I've learned in NLP and hypnosis and studying Milton Erickson, that if you are not in rapport with yourself, if your conscious and unconscious mind are not in great rapport, you cannot hear the flowing messages from the higher conscious. You know, the higher conscious mind, that intuitive whisper inside of your heart that tells you to go left when everybody else tells you to go right, that tells you to walk away even though everybody else says it's a great deal, that tells you that little voice that you know when you listen to it, everything works out, and that little voice when you don't listen to it, nothing works out. That's what needs to drive us. That's what we need to listen to. Your head is going to spin you in circles. It's going to talk you out of things. And here's the interesting thing about intuition, Kent. Intuition never makes sense. It doesn't. Intuition is not supposed to make sense. It's instinctual. It's deeper. It's a primal level. What is interesting about the difference between intuition and fear is that fear shows up with all the facts. Fact, this is your weight. Fact, this is your income. Fact, this is what your body looks like. Fact. Fear shows up with all the facts to make you feel like shit. Intuition shows up with crazy, crazy suggestions that when you follow them, they lead you to glorious places, but they never make any sense. Not in the beginning. And everybody thinks you're crazy when you listen to your intuition, because, you know, oh no, you should be listening to the fears. I mean, this is why I don't listen to the news, because I built my biggest form of wealth by trusting my gut, listening to my intuition, following my heart, not listening to all the chattering fear exchanges that most people love to talk about. It is so disgusting how much people like to get together and talk about what they're scared shitless of. Get out of those circles. Turn off those medias. My wealthiest friends, my friends that are billionaires, they don't listen to the media. They work on what they do best, and they grind it out, and they go after all the intuitive hits that they have. You know, all the distractions that are out there, you need to tune them out, turn them off, move away. And you're going to even have people say, well, then you're not going to, you know, I love my father. He's come a long way. But I remember there was a period my dad would say, Sean, if you don't watch the news, you're not going to be informed. I'm like, look, you know what? The news doesn't ever inform anybody. And the news inundates us. It doesn't inform us. And trust me, Dad, I'm not going to be so buried in the sand that I'm not going to hear. I go on Facebook. I read what people are talking about. I'm not oblivious, but I decide what outlets I want to listen to.
No doubt.
When I hang out with people, I ask myself the question, do I want to become more like this person? If I do, I listen to how they see the world. If I don't, I don't listen at all.
What's the most valuable piece of advice that's ever been shared with you? I mean, I know you listen to a lot of your mentors. If you had to try to, or something that's even recently, just good advice that you've heard from a mentor.
Trust the process. Don't freak out about the, you know, have you achieved the outcome? Trust that you're exactly where you need to be. One of my mentors really has been very helpful for me. I want to share something a little embarrassing. And that was I pierced my ear when I was 25. My dad said, take your earring out. And, you know, this is back when guys get only one earring. And he was like, take your earring out. You can't be taken seriously in business if you got an earring. So I caved because, you know, I want dad's validation. So I took it out. And then a few years later, I turned 31. And I was like, screw this. I love you, Dad, but I'm getting my ears pierced. And I got my ears pierced. And I went to Claire's, just like a teenage girl, right? I get my ears pierced. And I got those little stupid fake studs, right? And I wear them for years. And, you know, I act like I don't give a shit that they're, you know, glass or whatever piece of shit they are from Claire's. And, you know, I just thought it was cool to have my ears pierced. And then one of my mentors said, Sean, are those earrings real? And I said, what are you talking about? And this just happened like about a week ago. He said, Sean, are those real diamonds? And I said, no. And he's like, then take them out. I'm like, what? He's like, it's off brand. You're all about real. Either don't wear an earring or wear ones that have diamonds. And I was like, oh shit. He's right. He's right. And I immediately went to the jewelry store and I said, I need an earring or earrings that are real diamonds that are the size of these plastic pieces of shit. And, you know, I walked out of the store with diamonds in my ears. And you know what? What's really interesting is even though I can't really tell from a distance the difference. Of course, they're a little shinier and all that, but they feel different because I know they're real, you know, and I know that I'm congruent with the fact that I'm doing, I'm creating a life where I am what I project that I am. And that some people might be like, that's stupid. I don't need to get jewelry. Not, you know, that's what aligned with me. It may not align with you. Don't believe anything I'm saying. If it doesn't align with you. This is just my own experiences, my own results that I've gathered. Everything that I teach is things that I use. And it's not for everybody. Some people want to live and die at effect. They want to eat their Oreos until they die with crumbs in their pockets. And they have every right to do that. That's just not the life I signed up for.
I love it, brother. Man, it's been unbelievable to have you here. I knew we were going to have a good time. I knew you were going to share a lot of great wisdom, but you have definitely outdone yourself here, dude. And I am very, very grateful to have you here. If people want to get in touch with you, want to reach out to you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
I'm going to tell them that they got to get on the Sean Stevenson Gateway Drug. And that is my ebook. And my ebook is How to Stay Positive When Life Gets Crazy, right? Because it's easy to be positive when life's working fine. But how do you stay positive when life is crazy, right? When the shit hits the fan. Okay. And so go to staypositive.club. That's staypositive.club. Get that ebook. Listen to it. It also comes with me reading it, so it's on the audio. It's got three video bonuses, got an ebook for kids as a bonus as well. It's an awesome way to start. Every podcast, radio interview, television, everything I do, I point everybody to that. Because if you don't have what it takes to stay positive when life gets crazy, none of the other shit's going to work.
I love it, brother. We'll make sure we include a link here on the show notes. And like I said, it's been my pleasure to have you here. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, you understand now clearly why I wanted Sean on here and wanted him to share his wisdom with you. The guy's been a wealth of knowledge. Hopefully you've taken a lot of good notes. If not, you want to go back and kind of review it, just go back to thetimeisnow.com or kentclothier.com. Go on the podcast or check us out on iTunes. again, give us a thumbs up, thumbs down. Let us know what you thought of the podcast and how we can improve. We appreciate all your feedback. We appreciate all the reviews, all the kind of good stuff, all the kind words. Just keep them coming. And like I said, Sean, I appreciate having you here, brother. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, brother.
You got it.
You've reached the end of this episode, but there's plenty more for you over at thetimeisnow.com, where you can sign up for our free mailing list to help you make the next big shift in your career. As always, we'll see you next time on the Time Is Now podcast, where your business is personal.